Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
And you are listening to Live from the Path. We're coming to you from the Pathway Studios here at Johnston proper. Are you doing eyebrows? We don't do that here.
He's got very little talent. It all kind of comes to a fruition up by his face.
I understand.
Hey! I don't feel like I need to defend myself.
No, I understand. I understand where you're coming from in this deal. Shoot, we can't see Tommy. All right, hey, here's what we got going on the show tonight. Hey, man, Lindgren and Lewis are in studio tonight. And you will recognize Kevin Lindgren. We've had Lindgren on a few times.
Yes, sir.
And we were excited to have him back in. And we had, so I went and saw these guys. How long ago was it? You guys were at Java Joe's in Des Moines.
Yes.
It was storming that night. That's what I remember. It was storming that night. It was on a Monday night because I had to come here afterwards, so I had to leave a little early. And they've got just a cool vibe and a cool mix of twang and soul. And they got a CD coming out. It's coming out on Wednesday. And so they're joining us. They're going to play some songs for us. We're going to get to know them a little bit more. And all in the great effort to have you go out and enjoy the music, pick it up, Amazon, iTunes, that kind of thing. So we'll get to know them just a little bit more later on. But Lindgren and Lewis are in the studio, and we're going to hear from them. In honor of Kevin Lindgren, a special request, we're going to do a Secular versus Solomon.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Buva, have you been preparing for Secular Solomon? Did you know it was coming?
Well, here's the situation. As we talked about a long time ago, I'm trying to read through all of Proverbs. It's been about, I'd say 15 weeks that I've been trying to do it, one chapter at a time, starting by one, then one and two, then one, two, and three, as you can tell. I'm on chapter 8, which shows how many times I have not read 1 through 8 each week.
Uh-huh.
So I will say I've been preparing, but I'm not going to say I've been preparing diligently.
Okay.
All the good Proverbs are like at the end of it too.
Yeah, right. you're a real pickle booba.
I keep getting to this is how you get wisdom. Get wisdom. Yeah, yeah. And in all things, get understand. Or what does he say? Beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. And all things get, I can't remember specifically what it was.
You stink at Secular Solomon, booba.
I know, I've got that portion down.
Okay.
Oh, and I should clarify. I don't mean the good ones are at the end. The good ones for the show are at the end. The game.
The Holy Spirit phoned it in the first half.
I was going to say, I'm learning the beginning of wisdom. I have to get down. I have to get wisdom before I'm going to
that.
Get wisdom is all
yes.
I'm going to say.
Okay, excellent. Very good. Mike's got some Pope style advice. We got some stuff on Dear Life from the Path. That's what's going on in the program tonight. So here's the deal. Let's get to know Lindgren and Lewis just a little bit. This is Kevin Lindgren. And Tommy Lewis, you can find more information about them, by the way, if you go to LindgrenandLewis.com. Lots of stuff going on in your guys' world. You got a tour coming up over the summer, and you just came out. You guys made a haul to Las Vegas. Tell me a little bit about that trip and what it was like in Vegas.
Don't drive to Las Vegas in December.
No, this is good.
That's all I'm saying. No, it was a good time. They have a rodeo out there the first week of every December. And so they kind of do like a South by Southwest kind of deal out there, but with country, all country music. They kind of just piggyback off that rodeo, and so they have a bunch of country bands come out, and so we played out there at a casino for 3 nights. And
did you get to stay in the casino for free?
We did, actually.
Okay, that's uptown.
Free free food, free rooms, all that good stuff. So
I don't have a lot of casino experience, but is it kind of like you're playing and everybody else
yes.
just feeding quarters
yes.
as
yes.
if you're not there?
Yeah, it's just
there's no glamour in the casino.
You're like, I'll be here all week.
Yes, that's like, exactly what it is.
Who cares?
That's yeah. exactly what it is. Just ding, 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 ding.
Wow.
A guy would come up and put $5 in the tip bucket and say, hey, can you play this song? And then he'd walk away, go back to his machine.
Hey, you're after the $5 though, right?
There you go. So.
So.
Yes, it's
all right.
Yeah, I did find out though the way to stop that is us to play George Strait.
People pay attention when
people
Strait
pay attention
comes on?
When George Strait comes on. Yeah,
I mean it's kind of hard to play with energy, isn't it? When you think no one cares. I mean they're listening.
Yes, that's very true. It's hard to. Yes. You
yeah.
feed off of the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vibe's kind of taking you down.
It would be like you doing a sermon and everyone's on their phone. Not
yeah,
that that's ever happened.
That's just
I'm not
like
accusing
that.
Any of you of ever doing that.
Until you reference Francis Chan and everyone's like, yeah, Francis Chan. Yeah, he rocks it.
I'm selling everything.
They're just listening for the keyword, which apparently is George Strait.
Kevin Lindgren, I'm sorry to stop you here, but this is a radio program. You're going to have to use that microphone, buddy.
Okay.
There you go.
I apologize.
Okay, so not what you expected or what you expected at the casino?
I think it's actually kind of what we expected. We really thought you're going to be the entertainment.
Yeah.
For the people who are out there having a good time at the casino. They're enjoying Vegas. You're working at Vegas.
Yeah.
That's as much as you can expect from it.
Yeah, you know, that's probably
saying,
true.
You're working at the casino. You are an employee of the casino that day. Your job is to entertain and to make people want to stay there and spend more money. And I loved having, especially whenever some of the older cowboys or some of the older fans would come in after the rodeo, they'd come in and they'd hang out at the Shady Grove Lounge. And they dug our old country stuff as much as anybody else. And I love getting to play covers, you know.
Yeah.
I love doing our own stuff and our own songs, and we work hard at them. But at a certain point, it is fun to just go in and say, all right, we're going to play Merle Haggard all night, or we're going to play Buck Owens, or we're going to play Jimmy Rogers. We can play anybody we want, and they're going to know who it is, and they're going to want to request songs and say, hey, I love the way you guys do that song. You can do it kind of weird, like you have a little bit of soul in your band.
Yep.
Then we give them a CD and call it Twang and Soul.
It's interesting to think about how much of music is a shared experience from random points. Right, like you could have nothing else in common, but you've heard this song, you've enjoyed a song, and know nothing about each other, and it's such a connection, a shared experience that it's difficult to have in other mediums. Like it's a very, very way to be close very quickly just by sharing those types of things. That's cool.
Right, it's a unique way of communicating. I mean, everything it has to be. There's no verbal communication. You can't really be giving hand signs to each other trying to explain. Me and Kevin just have to look at each other, or you know, so the fan comes in and watches, and they kind of. You know they're listening. They've been drawn in.
Yeah.
Right? That you're sharing. Your souls are entwined at this moment.
Yep.
You're sharing this experience.
That's way deeper than I ever was going to take it, with the soul entwining. I mean, I smell what you're putting down. I'm just saying, I would have never said it.
So, like, what's attractive about Twang and Soul to you guys? Like, what why are you drawn to that?
I don't know. For me, Twang and Soul, it starts with a lot of these old jazz bands and stuff in the 1900s and the 1920s. You know, you look at these old photos, and all of them have banjos and mandolins and fiddles and trumpets right next to each other and saxophones. And that's such a cool sound. I don't know what it sounded like. We don't have very good recordings of it. If we do, and the recordings we do are really rehearsed and like original Dixieland jazz band, and they, you know, were a bunch of middle class guys who were classically trained musicians.
That's right. You're missing out on the rest of the world.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear these pictures of these bands with banjos and mandolins and fiddles playing jazz music.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what I've always thought Twang and Soul was. That's what folk music was. And for me, the Twang and Soul started off as a family I was living with, right? Like a second parents to me. And I played a song and he goes, that's real twang, but that's soul music. You sing it with a twang, but it's soul music. And I was like, oh, I should save that. That'll be a song one day.
Yeah. Do you feel like our souls are intertwined now?
Yeah, pretty much.
It says, yeah.
But that's the thing, too, is like I went through this phase of really being into like Wilson Pickett and Al Green. And
I thought you were going to say Wilson Phillips.
No. Well, I did really have that phase, too, but that was back in high school. But like Wilson Pickett and Al Green and all that kind of stuff. And when you think about it, you know, like the old country he's talking about, and you know the soul from like the 60s and 70s, it's two completely different styles musically, but it's the same kind of stuff lyrically. If you really break it down and look at it, it's all the same lyrically.
Right.
So it's like, what if you took these soul songs and put the old country style to them? You make a new sound of the same lyrics. Does that
Lionel
make sense?
Richie with the banjo.
Yeah.
So then we started playing Lionel Richie with the banjo, and it took off.
You know that got candy at Halloween.
Usually they get a pretty strange look, but then they get into it.
They get into it. We do it right, they get into it.
Yeah. Well, cool. Let's take a listen to it. So tell me a little about the song Slow Down.
Slow Down. That song, you're going to get a mandolin for that?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. Slow Down is it's a track that's on the CD that's coming out Wednesday. And it's one I wrote about 5 or 6 years ago, probably, when I was in a darker place in life. And it's kind of just, at the time I wrote it for someone else, and then I realized as the more I played it and the more I got into it that I was really actually kind of writing it to myself. And it's a song pretty much about, like, when you're in the deep, dark places where all you want to do is go and rage and yell and scream at people, you know, and blame other people. The best way to really kind of solve the issues and solve the problems that you're going through is just being in a room and being silent and meditating. And that's where a lot of the answers in life are found. you know, like meditation and quiet and silence, and the whole thing about anger and fighting just makes it worse.
Sure.
So there's a line in there that says, what's it say? The answer is the answers are in the silence of your mind.
Yeah,
that's kind of where it goes from. So
gotcha. All right, well, cool. Let's get a taste of it. This is Lindgren and Lewis. Slow down. You're listening to Live from the Path.
So you're jaded, trust level faded. I reach out to touch you, I feel nothing but hatred, and I'm drowning in my flaws. I feel my life breaking with each crashing wave that falls, and each step that you take out of my world. So slow down, to run with blinded eyes, release the tension from your mind. Do what the silence tells you, and slow down and clear your mind. Take a deep breath and you will find the answers in the silence of your mind. So you're searching, panning for rust in a pile of gold. Your view of me skewed by lies and words mistold. But the truth is, my insecurities, they do all the dirty work that gets me here, it seems, and pushes me further from your world. So slow down, to run with blinded eyes, release the tension from your mind. Do what the silence tells you, and slow down and clear your mind. Take a deep breath and you will find the answers in the silence. And I know that I can't be all you want me to be. But before this all fades away, I need you here with me. So slow down. Slow down. Just slow down. Now I see you in a light like never before. You took the time to find yourself and walk right out that door. And the truth is, I need the same for me. Slow down and take the time to find what's right for me and all the things that I need in this world. So I'll slow down and clear my mind. Take a deep breath and I will find the answers in the silence. Let's slow down and clear our mind. Take a deep breath and we will find the answers in the silence. So slow down and clear your mind. Take a deep breath and you will find the answers in the silence of your mind.
Thank you. All right, that was Slow Down by Lindgren and Lewis. So, is that on the new CD?
That's on the new CD.
That's on
yes.
the brand new.
Is everything yep. you're playing tonight on the new CD?
No.
No. Oh.
Two of the three.
Oh, two of the three. Three. Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Cool. Very, very, very good. So you can pick that up if you go to lindgrenandlewis.com, but you can't get it yet. Here's the deal. They're going to be at the Greenwood Lounge tomorrow in Des Moines, and you can pick the CD up there.
Yes. Limited release tomorrow.
Limited release. Otherwise, you're going to have to pick it up Wednesday. It's available on all major online retail outlets, Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby, and the like. If you go to their website, you'll have a link there. You can pick that up, and you can pick up their new CD, Gulf Coast Moon, by Lindgren and Lewis. I tell you what, let's do another one, and then we'll get to some Secular versus Solomon. I saw the light.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the I Saw the Light.
I love I Saw the Light. Yes. That's happening. It's peppy.
Well, good, because y'all get to, y'all feel free to sing along.
Okay, we might do that.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm waiting for that, actually.
We're going to have a little hoedown here, so.
Everyone else thinks it's going to ruin their sound.
No, yeah.
Mistake.
This song was written to be sang by everybody.
That's right. All right, let's do it. This is I Saw the Light.
You remember it?
Sure.
Here we go.
I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. And like a blind man, the guy gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. And narrows the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside.
Give him some harmonica, Tommy.
I was so lost, I fell to my knees, and I prayed to the Lord. Bring salvation to me. And I saw his glory as it shone through the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more at night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
That was fun. Let's do it again. I'll tell you what. Quick story. Quick story. The whole reason we even started even considering doing this together, we were both playing at an open mic in Osceola, Iowa. And I'm up there playing some Bob Dylan song or something.
Uh-huh.
And from the back corner of the room, I hear this kid blowing on his harmonica back in the back corner of the room. While I'm up there on stage trying to do my thing.
Wait, were you mad at him?
I was thinking, hey, you know.
You're so good back there.
If you're so good back there, why don't you come up here and try it? And so he came up there and tried it, and we were horrible. Horrible. And we thought, this is so bad, let's try it again. And it just kind of took off from there. But
we should make a CD.
Exactly.
I actually had that happen to us. We were playing a show in a bar one time, and a guy with a flugelhorn showed up.
We're blues band, right? I mean, like dirty Texas blues. Yes. Man with flugelhorn stands back at the back of the bar rocking out.
Like
on
it's his back porch. You know what I'm saying? Brought his own iced tea with him.
I don't know what a flugelhorn is.
But I have since decided that the harmonica is the bacon of music.
It's the
everything is better with harmonica.
No, I could see that. Yeah, it's the French horn for marching band.
Hey, let me ask you this about a harmonica. I feel like a harmonica and, say, an accordion player wouldn't get along.
Yeah, they're about in the same area, aren't they?
Am I wrong? Harmonica to be like a pocket saxophone.
That really didn't fit our story at all, Lewis. You know what I'm saying? The fight was between an accordion and a harmonica. And you
I don't know how to play the accordion.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't think anybody really does.
I can't afford
here's what
accordion
I, here's what I think
it.
Happens. Yeah, because this is what I do, right? But like the right-hand piano side, everyone's right. like, heck yeah, I rule this. The left-hand, mystery. They're just moving fingers around.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that people are doing something. That they're dummy buttons. They don't do anything.
Yeah, see, the right side of accordion is like the elderly. You can play them. On the left side is like a woman. You aren't sure what you're up to.
You're not sure what's going on.
The other side, ladies and the elderly, accordions.
The other side's like bagpipes, as far as I understand.
I think you have to pass down bagpipes to the family. I think you can just pick those up.
But the bagpipes are kind of like a harmonica, because I inherited a harmonica once from my grandpa, and he liked the chewing tobacco. That was a mistake.
Yeah, you don't share harmonicas.
Yeah, that was a big mistake.
I've got my grandfather's harmonica.
Yeah.
You don't share harmonicas.
In my studio.
I mean, that had to have been 15-year-old red man in there by the time I got it. It was nasty.
You don't share the harmonicas.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
And you made the mistake of showing up to America's fastest growing internet game show, Unproven, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the basic gist of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and you need to tell me whether it is a secular bit of wisdom or whether it is a biblical bit of wisdom, more specifically, a Solomon-esque. I'll take anything from Proverbs, really. Technically, Solomon wasn't the only proverb man. But anything from Proverbs is fair game. Also, Ecclesiastes. We don't really do any Song of Solomon. It's wisdom, and even though we're on internet radio, it gets a little tawdry. So here's the deal. I'll give you that. And so if it's a biblical bit of wisdom, you just have to identify it as such and say it's Solomon. If you believe it is a secular bit of wisdom, you have to tell me the country of origin. And just to hit the rules one more time, boys, this is not people groups. This is not like continents. I want country. The rules are finite. Country.
No Aztecs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Existing countries. I don't want no Babylonians, Persians, things of this nature.
Well, okay. They came up with wisdom.
It didn't make the cut.
I mean, Solomon was a long time ago. So were they.
I'm sorry. I've set the rules. Here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Here we go. Poor men seek meat for their stomach. Rich men stomach for their meat. Poor men seek meat for their stomach. Rich men stomach for their meat. Secular or Solomon? Dan Hudson.
That is a secular Uganda.
Uganda. Kevin Lindgren.
I'm gonna go secular Egypt.
Egyptians. Rich Egyptians seek a stomach for their meat. Tommy.
Secular China.
Chinese. Mike.
Yeah. Take that, Buva. Secular and Germany.
Buva.
Secular, Lithuania.
Okay, on the chat, you pick one out. You get 1 point if you get it right. You get -2 if you miss it. Poor men seek meat for their stomach. Rich men stomach for their meat. It is secular English. English.
English.
You stereotypical heathens. Uganda. Where would there be a hungry man? Here's the deal. If you're a hungry man in Uganda, you don't have time for these pithy sayings. You're digging the ground.
The Ugandan proverb is, I'm hungry.
Rich men for their meat.
I misjudged.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. Secular or Solomon. Kevin Lindgren.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon. Tommy Lewis.
Solomon.
Solomon. Buva.
I heard wisdom and understanding. I'm going to go with Solomon.
two key words.
Two key words.
There's only one thing that can throw me off the Lord's word, and it's Buva's agreement of it. I'm going to go secular and probably New Zealand.
Dan Hudson.
I will go Solomon.
Solomon. All right. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool, but wisdom is pleasure to a man of understanding. That is Solomon, Proverbs 10:23.
Blown away.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day, Mike. That's Boova's bumper sticker. Here we go.
Can I make a comment real quick?
Yeah, please.
Mike is marking down points for himself instead of me. He's got Mike 2, Boova 0, even though I've gotten both of those right and he's gotten both of them wrong.
Those are my personal records and none of your business.
All right, here we go. Secular of Solomon. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings home who brings shame. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Secular or Solomon. Tommy Lewis. Deep breath. Secular, it all rides on this one.
Secular. China.
China.
I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to stick to my guns here.
That's what I was going to say.
Boova.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon. Mike.
Ah.
Boova's put you in a quandary.
I'm torn again. I'm almost certain it's Solomon, but me and Boova don't ride on the same boat. You know what I'm saying? All right, I'm going to go with Solomon as well. Point for Mike.
Okay. Dan.
Yeah, it's either Solomon or the sequel to the dude who wrote the grasshopper fable thing. Is it the grasshopper? No, the ant. Anyway, I'm going to go Solomon.
We can't judge your mind.
Yeah, sorry.
It's I been can't a long tell time. Whether you were trying to tell a story or a joke.
No, it was a story.
I'm sorry.
Don't you remember the little story?
Telepathy is not a gift of the spirit. Keep it in. Lindgren.
Secular, I was going to say China, but I can't do that now, so I will say Japan.
Japanese, let's see. Doing wrong is like a joke to a fool. Wait, I did that one right. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. It is Solomon, Proverbs 10:5.
Yes.
Proverbs 10:5. All right.
That's a third point for Boova, Mike. Just throwing that out there.
Secular Solomon, some people are masters of money and some its slaves. Some people are masters of money and some its slaves. Secular or Solomon. John Boova.
I'm going to go secular and I'm going to go French.
French, Mike.
Do you see how he aerosmiths the microphone away from me? It's a bit much, isn't it? I'm going to go with Solomon. You know, Solomon.
Okay, straight up Solomon. Dan Hudson.
I'm going to go secular, and that is obviously a Swiss proverb. Switzerland.
Obviously. Kevin Lindgren.
I'm going to go Solomon.
Lindgren's in for Solomon. Tommy Lewis.
Secular. England.
England. Some people are masters of money, and some its slaves. No one pointed out the Ruski. Russia. Russia.
There goes my Swiss bank account.
It's obviously... Dan, you are so stereotypical. Money, Swiss bank.
That's where all my money's at.
They only derive wisdom from wherever they're standing.
You know what I want to do? I want to play Scattergories with Dan. I'm just saying, that's what I want to do. I feel like I'd win every time.
Secular or Solomon, he who holds the ladder is as bad as the thief. He who holds the ladder is as bad as the thief. Secular or Solomon, Mike.
I'm going to go with secular and Indochina.
Lots of ladders in Indochina. Dan Hudson.
I'm going secular and...
What people group are known for climbing, Dan?
Ladders and climbing.
Nepal. Definitely Nepal.
I was going to go with the Aztecs, but you won't let me. We're going to go with Canada.
No doubt.
The Canada?
The Canada. All right. They got maple leaves and stuff.
It's a province of Nepal.
Wow.
He who holds the ladder is as bad as the thief. Lindgren.
I'm going to go secular Germany.
Fair enough. Wait, Kevin Lindgren, quick question. Point of order.
Yes.
Have you ever held a ladder?
I don't think so.
Mm. Interesting. Tommy Lewis.
Kevin, I'm going to take a note from you here.
Yes.
Secular Egypt.
There you go.
Ooh. Ooh. Parting company. Boova.
I'm going to go secular Brazil.
Did you think ladders are not in the Bible?
No. I just think there's a lot of ladders in the favela.
I don't care for your revisionist history. He who holds the ladder is as bad as as bad as the thief.
Wow.
Secular Germany.
Wow.
Germany. Germany. Hey, man, 10 points for Kevin Lindgren.
Didn't they used to be owned by Indochina?
Yes, that's basically how it went down.
That's got to be at least a half point for Mike.
Yeah. The barbarian hordes from Indochina.
That was an odd history book.
Secular or Solomon. In baiting a mousetrap with cheese, always leave room for the mouse. In baiting a mousetrap with cheese, always leave room for the mouse. Secular or Solomon. Dan.
Oh boy. I'm gonna go secular, and it's Spain.
Who's infested with mice?
No, no, they got wine and cheese. Spanish thing. Spain.
Oh, well played, Dan. Kevin Lingren.
Oh, I'm gonna go secular. Italy.
Italy. Tommy Lewis.
Secular. Portugal.
Dirty restaurants in Portugal. John Buva.
I'm going to go secular Greece.
Greece. Mike.
Secular China.
In baiting a mousetrap with cheese, always leave room for the mouse. Secular Greece.
Nice.
Ooh. Did you memorize that from before?
Yeah, you already did that one a couple weeks ago.
Dang, did I really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wait, that's embarrassing for you fellas. You would have been in the room.
I'm usually so busy trying to make comedy out of Dan's answers that I don't even pay attention to what the actual answer is.
I'm going to take that as a correct answer for Troy, though.
He's been hoisted on his own petard. Secular or Solomon, whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Secular or Solomon. Kevin Lindgren.
I'm going to go Solomon.
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 Yeah, I'm in for Solomon.
Mike.
Torn. I'm going to also go with Ecclesiastical Solomon.
Okay. Dan Hudson.
Yeah, he likes to use a little sloth word once in a while, so we'll throw Solomon in there.
Is this a non-sequitur? Hold on. I'm trying to get the connection here. Whoever is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. Are you telling me this guy went out and shot the pheasant? Or whatever, and then just refuse to cook
just
it?
Just too lazy to cook it.
That's a lazy man. That's a lot of work. That is a lazy man. All right.
That's where Solomon lives. That's a problem. It's formatted very much like a Solomon. Here's an example of a real pile. Here's what you should be doing. Yeah. That's the way Solomon rules.
All right. It's whoever like is slothful will not roast his game, but the diligent man will get precious wealth. It is Solomon, Proverbs 10:27. Here we go, final one. Wait, I'm going to give you a final one, and then I'll give you a bonus. All right, here we go. Final one in the legitimate game. Tomorrow is often the busiest day of the week. Tomorrow is often the busiest day of the week. Secular or Solomon? Tommy Lewis.
Secular, U.S.
United States.
I'm going to go secular, and I'm going to say Bolivia.
Tommy Lewis had poignant social commentary. I feel like you just pulled that one out of the crevices of your armpit.
There are no United States proverbs.
A gauntlet. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to go with secular, and I like Taiwan for this one, Ben.
Tomorrow is often the busiest day of the week, Dan Hudson.
It is obviously Greenland, secular.
Dead obvious. Lindgren.
Secular Mexico.
Interesting choice. Tomorrow is often the busiest day of the week, secular Spain. Spain.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Spain.
For absolutely no reason. I'm going to say that I was the closest to that.
Oh, why?
I don't believe in you. I get it. Bolivia, you. Yeah, that's funny. Believe you.
I'm waiting for a joke.
It's not
going
to happen
tonight. Okay, here we go. All right.
You
got
to pick this one up. Keep going.
Bonus question. Here we go. God works in mysterious ways. God works in mysterious ways. Secular or Solomon? John Bova.
Oh, man. I'm going to go secular.
Country?
The United States.
What a bummer. Hey, you don't mess with the man with the banjo. And that's what you've done. Mike?
I'm going to go secular and England.
Okay. Dan Hudson?
I'll go secular and also I have to concur with America, United States.
Okay. Kevin Lindgren?
Secular Lithuania.
Yes. I'm feeling it. Tommy Lewis. God works in mysterious ways.
Solomon. New Testament.
A creepy New Testament. So now, back to something you said last week. He could have been one of the guys risen from the tomb at Jesus' resurrection. When it said the saints were up walking around, you did not consider a New Testament Solomon saying things like, I don't know what happened, but God works mysterious ways.
So I got one more.
He also could have authored Hebrews.
True. That's a question mark. That's still possible.
Seriously?
Paul Solomon. God works in mysterious ways. It is indeed secular, and I will accept United States. And, you know, that one kind of popped into my head because I saw someone was having a largely worthless biblical discussion online, which is where most worthless biblical discussions happen. And some guy was like, I mean, he was using that as his cornerstone. But the Bible says God works in mysterious ways. So that should encompass this, I don't know, heretical thing he was after. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. I did the good thing, right? I Googled it. I said, I'm pretty sure it's not in here, but I better double check myself. And sure enough, no, God works in mysterious ways. Interesting.
I feel like I need to point some out right now, though.
Point of order. You have to say point of order.
Point of order.
Okay, yeah.
I just got all of the points possible on that round of Secularist Solomon. I was 9 for 9.
For America's fastest growing.
That's the first time that's ever happened. I feel like that's cause for celebration.
Where's that one about humility?
Oh, it's not in there. It's not in there.
Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that's a United States proverb.
Everyone direct their attention to me. Congratulations, yeah. Booba. That was actually a stellar round of Secular Solomon for John Booba III. He sits back and enjoys it. And yes, it was.
Now that my point of order has been made, I'm going to go ahead and sit back.
And you've been part of America's fastest growing, non-proven internet game show, Secular versus Solomon. We want to know, can we tell the difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of the Bible? And there you go. We largely cannot. Booba, on the other hand, seems to have it down pat, which is a weird dichotomy.
All right,
with his lifestyle.
That's going to get me in a lot of trouble. Don't say that. That's going to get me in a lot of trouble.
Booba knows all. All right. If you like those games, you can catch more. Go to livefromthepath.org. You can watch past versions of Secular versus Solomon. Also, we got some other games out there, like how well are you at predicting the end of the world? And how can you identify Christian radio stations looking for money? what types of things do we legitimately hear on a Christian radio station trying to raise money? And how sad does that make me? That quiz is also available on livefromthepath.org. Mike, you got some Pope style?
It's small. It's small, but it should be poignant, I hope.
Well, so the premise of the Pope style advice is someone has shown up. Not someone. I mean, hordes, Germanic hordes, have shown up on your lawn, and they've I don't know, mistaken you for the Pope. They think you're the Pope, and they're waiting for you to come out your front door, do a little wave, and give some sort of pointed advice that's applicable to your life and to theirs before they will leave your property. Unfortunately, this week, it is Mike Fu's house. They believe he is the Pope. He needs to give out some Pope-style advice. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was thinking about this a little bit this week, and I noticed like I spend a lot of my time in Christian media, and most of it is just infuriating, to be honest with you. It just is, and I couldn't for my I had a really hard time trying to pinpoint why I was so irritated. And I think what I came to, and this will kind of roll into what the Pope style advice is, but like people who have received the grace of Jesus Christ tend to portray it from a chair of arrogance that is very hard to stomach, even to other people that know Jesus already. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a lot of folks that like to say, you know, at least we don't act like the culture. The culture's gone way far, forgetting that without that grace, you're the same. You know what I'm saying? Like without the grace, you're the exact same being that you're talking about. I noticed a lot when I was listening to a discussion between someone at work who loves Jesus and then someone who was asking them questions about it, and like the way that they were talking was all about life improvement and how to change, you know, the way that your life is going and that how their life is better in comparison, right? And I thought, the things that they were saying are true, but they're missing the broader spectrum. Like there's a relationship with Jesus Christ to have that is it's always twofold. It's always for His glory and your joy in that order. And if it gets moved around where it's your joy and His glory in that in descending order, you have a kingdom problem. You have a vision of the kingdom issue, because you will inevitably try to feed chair number one first. And I think my Pope style advice is this: is like if you've received the grace of Jesus Christ in your life, and and you've allowed it to make a change in you, and God has been faithful in that manner, don't forget where you came from. And it's easy because a lot of people, like we talked about this a little bit last week, will say, you know, we were talking about the difference between sinners saved by grace, or you know, or works in faith, and yeah. how it interprets to a life, and I think sometimes people, you know, when they get saved, and I do this, I've done it before too. Like they forget where they came from, and they forget the only reason that makes them different than those outside the kingdom is the fact that Jesus made it that way. is that Jesus was the difference. You yourself have done. You can't do anything to make that happen. And when you talk to other people about the kingdom, you do it from such a like a point of arrogance, like I know something you don't know, and that should be an exciting thing, not a hold over your head thing. And I guess I see it the other way too often. And I don't know, it was bothering me this week, because especially if you listen to a lot of sermons on Christian radio, right, they're very, they're talking like you're talking to a group of friends that already know Jesus, right? But if you did not know Jesus and you listened to that thing, you would feel so far out and like it wasn't for you. And I'm not saying that you tone that message down and change it, you know, so it's more seeker-friendly or anything. Like if there's anyone here that's against that, it's generally me, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is like, if you're, whether you're with people who know Christ or you're not, the truth is the truth. You know, you truly are only saved because Jesus died for you, and without him, you are the same as everyone else that you're talking about. And so I think sometimes we tend to forget that and put ourselves in a place that you know, that we didn't earn and that we had no choice in.
Yeah, Boova's got some commentary.
I've actually, it's sad to admit this, I've caught myself in that trap. I've caught myself being pompous about my relationship with Christ and my the things that have happened since then. But it hasn't been with people who don't know Christ. It's been with people that claim to be Christians. And just, in my opinion, just we're kind of lukewarm, I guess. And I found myself calling that out, not from a standpoint of loving on them as a brother in Christ, but from the standpoint of, oh, man, they just don't get it. They say that they do, but they don't get it. And I've had to stop myself from that because I realized where I was coming from. And it was completely messed up. And luckily, I realized that was going on. And then, you know, through God working with me, I've kind of moved past that. But I definitely caught myself with that. And you're absolutely right. That's something that it kind of just downplays all of God's work in your life if you're sitting there and taking it from a pompous standpoint and taking it from, this is what I've done, this is what God did in my life, ha, I wish it could be done in yours, but it can't.
Yeah, it's weird, well, I guess it's not, but where perspective and attitude comes into a lot of that stuff, right? Like, you can be doing the same thing, and either you're seeking to further God's kingdom or you're seeking to further yours. You can seek to love somebody and seek their restoration with God, or you can do it just because you're holding something over them, right? Or because you want to show to them, here's how my life rocks. Yours sucks because you're not doing what I'm doing. That doesn't have to be even God. People hold it over other people for any reason to say, here's my life. It rocks because I do the following. You don't do the following, and so you suck. I mean, that's the nature of what people do. And it's weird how I could probably say the exact same things, and whether my heart has an attitude to see them connected with the Creator, and because I actually love that guy, as opposed to I want to hoard it over him. And my words might be the same, but the difference is what I'm doing it for. What's my intention, right? Out of the heart pours forth your actions, pours forth your words, pours forth the things that you actually want to see done and furthered. And I've had actually a struggle within the last few weeks. I've run into a couple situations where people were just kind of acting funny. And it wasn't right. And they were like, tell me how to fix this. Tell me what to do differently. And my only answer was, I mean, I can tell you how to act differently, like puppet yourself around. But I mean, what's the use in that? I said, the root of it is you have to love this person that you're interacting with, right? You can't expect to act in a way that, like, I will show them that I love them. Why don't you actually love them to start? And then that will produce, right? A lot of times, and this is true, especially in Christianity, is we want to look the part. Here's the things that I'm going to do. You will know us by the things we do to you. You will know because if I act to you in a certain way. And like, although there are calls to obedience in the kingdom, it's foolish to act like Jesus came and said, do kind of what you want, I'll just kind of do what I want, and we'll meet together at the end. Like, it simply is not that. He's not a pansy God. But it's really our attitude, what we're seeking, and why we're seeking it, and that has to change. Everything else is puppetry, and sometimes we get all caught up in how I'm going to act. What am I going to do so that people think a certain way? And ultimately, we're always putting on airs about what do they think about me. It's not what do they think about God. What will I do so what they think about me, which shows that our kingdom's in the wrong order. Yeah, you know, I think a guy's like, and we were talking about him earlier, but the band Willett, you can't stop these fools from feeding hungry people. You can't stop them. Like, every chance they get, they're like pulling over at some wayward town playing a gospel, you know, a worship set in front of, I don't know, 5-10 people just to be worshiping, and then they're packing 100,000 meals for folks. Like, and you just, you couldn't find a time when they're not doing that. And so, like, there's people like that that you run into that know their place in the kingdom of God and know what God has them out to be doing. And, like, you couldn't talk them out of it. They don't even have time to put on airs about it, you know? And like, sometimes I wish that my life could speak that type of volume. That, like, no matter when you come, and you know, Jesus talks about that a little bit in all the Gospels, in fact. But when he talks about the vineyard, you know, how you behaved while the Lord was away, that he would come back and catch you doing as you were supposed to be, you know? And, like, if you caught me at any time during today, could you say, yeah, that man's, he's on it. You know what I'm saying? He's living an honest Christian life. You just can't catch him not doing it, you know? But you spend so much time attempting to fabricate a story around you that it literally eats up all your time to do it. You know, you spend all the time twisting it, you know, twisting the way that you want it to look and what you want people to see, when really you should just be okay with say, look, you know, part of the Christian community is going to think I'm crazy. That's fine. The world's going to think that I'm intolerant and stupid. That's fine too, right? I'm just doing what God told me. I work for his kingdom. That's where I'm going. So let's just be done with it. And it would get a lot more done for the kingdom. It would take the arrogance down a notch to a humble servant area. And I think it would proclaim a lot more honest faith and a lot less bloated conversations.
Yeah, I think it's so easy to slide into that arrogant attitude. You look at the people Jesus was the most ticked off at, or the people who really were the most spiritual. They knew the most scripture. They fasted. They were sacrificial. They had all the right clothes. All everything you can look at, you know, the check off your list, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, but they crossed that line and they were imposing things on other people. They were looking down on them. They were putting their thumbs down on them and really making life rough on the average believer, you know. And those are the guys Jesus was completely, I mean.
Brood of vipers, man.
Oh, he lambasted them every time they had a chance, you know. Yeah. Called them names and whipped them and chased them out of the temple.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know. I mean, yeah, it's easy. It's a fine line. You can just slide so easily into that. Because these are guys who spent years training. It wasn't like, you know, they just were good old boys. I mean, they spent years and had to qualify to get into what they were doing to become a Pharisee and a Sadducee. They knew their stuff, but they didn't let it get to their heart in many cases.
Which I think is ultimately the deal. Is like, if you legitimately love God and you legitimately love people, get those two things and your life will paint. It will simply paint the picture of the kingdom around you, right? If you're pursuing both of those things with all your heart, the other stuff that God said, like, and that's why he dwindled them down to that, right? Love your neighbor as yourself, love your God with all your heart and soul and mind. It's because if you get those two things, and, like, not that you're going to get them right all the time, you can't, but, like, if you're pursuing those things with fervor, everything that Jesus is asking you to do, all these obedience things that we want to worry about, your life will paint those automatically. It simply happens. Because those are the two things. Like, you legitimately love the guy that you disagree with. You legitimately love the person that you love the guy that needs hunger, that needs food. You love to clothe the naked. Like, all those things, you do those things because you love them to begin with. And that's what you are pursuing with your life, as opposed to looking for checkboxes. We're always trying to create lists out of the Bible as if those guys aren't painting pictures either. And it's weird that, like, we want to say, well, at least I look like I'm loving my neighbor. Yeah, and that doesn't count.
And we compare check boxes. I have more checked off than you do, so I must be, you know, more spiritual or something.
Yeah.
And kind of miss it.
Yeah, and it's weird. And, like, that's a very pharisaical thing is to start judging people. How are you doing with your check boxes? Where I'm more concerned is, well, how's your relationship with God? And when you look around you, do you have love for the people around you? Because, like, and here's the deal is, without both of those things, everything else will be very difficult. You won't be able to keep up with all the things that Jesus is asking. Like, there's a matter of obedience that outflows from those two, like, actually loving people. There's people that I would completely agree with theologically that I can't stand how they conduct themselves. Just awful. I mean, it's embarrassing. And you know why? It's because they don't love those people.
Yeah.
You know, pick whatever poison that they've decided that Jesus is upset with. May whether he's legitimately or not, he wants those people in the kingdom of heaven, and he wants you to love them. And you didn't start with love. You started with the list. And Jesus didn't give like, when he said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind, love your neighbor as yourself, he didn't say, and bring along the checklist, just in case they don't know which one they fit into.
Well, you know, we can even make the whole feeding the hungry, giving clothes to the naked and so forth. We can make that a checklist.
Yeah, exactly.
On everybody. You look at Jesus. He went to the cross. There was still work to be done, but he had done everything he had been called to do.
Yeah,
and he was okay with that.
No, that's true. And that's the risk, is especially with things like that.
Yeah, I can't feed every person. I can't clothe every naked. I mean, but I'm going to put whoever God puts in my path. You know, I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, that guy right there, he's the one who I'm called to. That guy.
Yeah,
and that guy, you know, and But you know, because that keeps you from getting all guilty too. Because you get all guilty, it's like, man, I'm not doing enough. Well, of course you're not. Can anybody ever do enough? Other than you do what your God calls you to do.
Yeah.
And then you've done enough.
Yeah. All right then.
Okay, that was it.
Get off the lawn.
Get off.
Pope style time.
Ready?
Yeah, yeah.
Dear Life from the Path. When I was growing up, I was taught to love animals, and I had several. For various reasons, I never had to deal with making the decision to put one to sleep. As I grew older, I realized we don't have the right to own living creatures, but we can take care of them. Eventually, my dog became ill, and I had to make the choice to put him down. It was heartbreaking, and while I support my local animal shelter, I vowed to never again have another animal I would have to make that decision for. Now my children are asking me to find a dog for them, and I'm at a loss about what to do. Do I first make them aware that the animal we love will die in some fashion, including that we may have to decide to put him to sleep? Or do I let them have an animal and let them deal with the heartbreak when the time comes? Thanks for your input. The question on the docket is, do I tell children that living things die? Go.
I don't think you shelter them from reality. Guess what? Mom's going to die someday, too. You know?
Really? I mean, when does the surprise kick in?
Yeah, yeah. What? I start with goldfish. They'll die quickly. And then get another one and see it all worked out. Get a gerbil. Let it die. I mean, don't make it die.
Let it die.
Watch it eat its babies. That's the natural world. Work up to a dog. I think it's a great lesson.
Did you say eat its babies?
Yeah, did you just say eat its babies?
What they goes did. On with these gerbils?
Have you ever had, I had gerbils. I learned. That was horrible.
Yeah. That is
I
horrifying.
Had to separate them quickly. They're
no,
like,
I did not have gerbils to eat. That's ridiculous.
well, that's not why you do it, but it just happens.
Yeah, exactly. Honey, I'm going to teach you about what a cannibal is today. This gerbil's about to eat that gerbil.
Now don't eat mommy.
No, I think that you get them a pet, let them love the pet, and when the time comes, let it
I don't understand her principle was, we're not supposed to own animals.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Like, either live in your principle or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't want to own animals, tell you, like, what do I tell the kids? Say, I don't think we should own, I think you're wrong about that, but like, just say, I don't think we should own animals.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, it sounds like she's like, I don't want one, but the kids want one. What do I do? Say no.
Yeah, that's the nature of parenting.
Exactly. Learn how to say no.
I'm going to point out a random law that I think is fact, but then I'm going to make another point that has nothing to do with that law. It just makes it seem like it does.
Secular Bolivia, go.
Secular Bolivia.
I don't, yeah. I don't.
Hey, man, that's fine.
Yeah, you're done. Here's the deal. Our kids have had 3 pets die now. I've only hid one death from them because it was rather brutal at the hand of the cats, and they ripped a hamster through a cage, and it was a scene. I mean, it was a scene. So I cleaned that one up. But like, other than that, we've had a couple dogs die. We have chickens pass. I mean, we have chickens die. I helped them, you know, I helped them, one of them helped me pick up the dead chicken and throw it away. Like, I just feel like it's easier to be honest with them. I just don't want them to think I'm telling them falsehoods. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew about this death the whole time. I don't want to spring it on them like I knew and I didn't tell them. You know, it's just easier to tell them and be honest with them and say, look, it's going to be hard because you're going to love that animal, but sometimes it just doesn't live as long as humans and it dies. And I can't tell you what's going to get it. It's worse when a fox gets them. You know what I'm saying? Natural causes is kind of what we like to see. But I don't know. We've always been really honest with our kids about death and exactly how human and animal death works. And, like, I don't know. A, they know that their parents are being honest with them even in the hard stuff. And, B, they work through it. You know what I'm saying? It's not that way they're not shocked when grandma dies and they poke her in the casket and she won't do nothing. They're like, what's happened? You don't understand. She always wakes up. Like, I just feel like that's a mistake. You're not gaining. Ready?
Yeah,
Secular
yeah.
says... You don't want to poke people in a casket?
No.
It's a who's
if you that's because you understand death.
That's right. If your children at Secular says, if your children are young, let them enjoy having a pet to love without worrying about the fact that its lifespan may not be forever. If you do, they will learn about responsible pet ownership in a good time, as well as the responsibility that comes when the pet becomes so old or sick that it can no longer enjoy life. While death is a part of life, I don't think that reality should be impressed upon your children now. Oh. Yeah, that's.
She's saying don't tell him.
Yeah, don't tell him.
Okay, come on.
Spin him the.
Now, I mean, you don't say the same thing to the 5-year-old that you say to your 12-year-old. But
And it's not like you say it every day. Hey, better love Buffy because she could die.
That's right.
Pat the head. She'll soon be dead.
This could be the last time they eat. Go ahead. Feed them.
Don't pick up the dog from the farm and be like, now listen, kid. I know it's really cute, but it's going to die.
Yeah. Just so you know, it won't be this way forever.
About the time you leave for college, you're going to come back home. He won't be here no more.
It's going to be terrible.
Man, no one incorporates that kind of stuff into their wedding vows. Forever until you die gruesomely at my own hand, likely.
I'm going to get this one started, okay? Then we'll get the answers after the break. It says, Dear Life from the Path, I am getting married soon, and I'm not inviting one of my coworkers, Daryl, who I know will be hurt. I've looked up to him as an uncle for a few years. We eat lunch together, and we share gossip. But my fiancé and I decided not to invite him, even though we are inviting other people from the office.
Rough.
Who? Whoa. Sorry, I didn't read this one. Daryl was recently arrested for supposedly raping his daughter.
Oh, man.
Dang, I gotta screen him. He went to court, but the daughter failed to appear, so the charges were dropped. Since then, even though I consider him a friend, I've seen him in a different light. I know he could be innocent, but my fiance and I do not want him at our wedding around family and kids. I don't know how to tell him he won't be invited. What should I say or not say?
All right, you're listening to Live from the Path. You need the answer to that one. You're going to have to come back and check out the podcast. Go to livefromthepath.org. If you're on 99.3 KTA, I've got to let you go. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path. Cats, Mike. That's a wing ding of a question.
I just saw the first part of like, but here, okay, hold on. Now, to be fair to myself, the heading was not going to invite coworker is off wedding guest list after his arrest. I'm like, I thought he wore like a chicken suit with his bum hanging out. He was drunk on the lawn. I'm like, this one will be lighthearted and funny.
It was a great Christmas party.
That is not what happened.
So, wait, what's the question on the table? Is what do you say to him?
Her question was, what should I say or not say? Because they're going to take him off the wedding guest list.
Okay. First question, is it for those reasons, is it okay to not invite him?
Yeah,
it's okay.
It's your wedding. You don't want a bunch of weirdness there. Come on. I mean, here's the deal. Like, let's say we're good friends, and you were accused of a serious crime, especially of that nature. I say, come on, dude. You know I can't have that kind of trouble at my wedding. Seriously, I love you. You ain't coming.
I'm not doing any type of that. I won't do it at the wedding.
Yeah, because you won't be there. You're not going.
I didn't do it.
I'm sorry. That's just what it looks like.
Wait, looks like I did it?
Yes, it does.
What a friend you are.
Hey, don't get mad at me. You're not coming to the wedding. Done.
It means a lot to me.
It doesn't anymore because you're not going.
I feel like we're going to part ways as friends.
Done. Shouldn't have done that thing that you said you didn't
I didn't do it.
Well, I think there's a lot of layers here. I mean, the daughter doesn't show up. Is that because she's intimidated or because she really was just making up an accusation?
It seems messy, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem messy?
It's really messy. I think you have a conversation. You got to have the conversation. Just say, hey, I'm going to be honest. I have no idea if you did that or not. I don't know how safe you are. I don't know. Can I put my people in danger? I mean, what? Tell me more. I'd want to know more. Of course, he's going to deny everything.
Well, of course he is.
Yeah.
I think if you have a relationship with him, you'll know if they did that or not. I feel like you, or at least you're going to feel like you know that person. Mm-hmm. Right? I feel like I know my friends that well.
You should be able to say, look.
I should be able. Yeah. But my friends have surprised me before in the past, you know? So I think I'd really have to be there. I'd have to be standing there in their shoes saying,
that's one heck of a surprise, though.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's a lot. That's a huge surprise for me. Most of my friends surprise me. It's never been anything.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, wow, you're doing drugs. Yeah. You know, it's
so here's my take on it. I'm trying to put myself in Daryl's shoes, and I'm trying to think of the fact that if I was even this is an alleged situation. I've been accused of this. Nothing's been put down. I'm innocent in my own mind. Even if I am innocent completely, I've been accused of a completely heinous crime. I can imagine being revoked for an invitation for that kind of thing. Just
if you're being honest.
Right. By face value alone, if my friend walks up to me and says, hey, Troy, you know, whatever, believe you or not, here's the situation. I can attest for you. My wife can attest for you, whatever, but it's going to be uncomfortable with the rest of the people there.
But you not inviting me pretty much gives the impression that you think I did it, that thus you need to keep me away.
I don't think it does.
That's what it feels like to me.
Well, that I wouldn't feel that way.
If I were
in Daryl's shoes and someone said, "Hey, man, you were just accused of this awful thing,"
but I didn't do it.
I can't invite you.
Yes, you can.
Even if you were invited, or even if you were guilty or not, man, like it's
let's
it's
say
a
you,
really weird. Place
let's say
to be
I was
in.
Exonerated. I'm found by the courts not guilty. Would I be allowed to go? Must I carry the stigma of this accusation my whole life?
Yeah.
You guys are awful to me.
Nah, yeah, if I were Daryl, I would not be surprised by that. I would not be hurt. I would not be surprised. I'd understand.
So if someone accused you of having done something like that, and you didn't do it at all, and you were proven to not do it,
I would feel like
you would have no reaction to someone saying, "I know you didn't do it. I know it was proven. However, I still can't have you here because of the stigma of that accusation."
I'm not saying I would have no reaction, but I'm saying I can understand that happening. Like, I can see it happening. It wouldn't surprise me.
You've seen that in schools where teachers have been falsely accused. The problem is you've also seen it where the teachers really did it, you know. And so it just puts this shadow of doubt, this whole cloud that it'd be really challenging.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff we can't even imagine on both sides of that issue of dealing with it going forward.
Lindgren?
Well, I kind of go with it both ways.
Lindgren,
vote for me.
If it was something where it was proven that he didn't do it, then I don't see it being a big deal. But if it's something where it came out right in the middle of the whole situation and it's like 5 days before your wedding, this all comes out, you can't have them there because the whole thing, like you said, even if you believe he didn't do it, you're going to have 200 people just sit there gossiping about him and staring at him, and that's going to take away from the.
Grace has to flow both ways. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the guy that was accused, let's say it's false, that was falsely accused, is going to have some grace for the people around him, realizing that a crime of that nature is pretty hard to just let go and have some grace in that area towards the people around him. Kind of what Buva has suggested. I feel like it's not too much to ask to say, look, you know, and he's not being, you know, taken off the list for the rest of his days. This is just at the wedding. Like, seriously, it's just for the wedding. Can we just get past the wedding? We'll talk about, you know, barbecues on Tuesday later. But can we just do the wedding thing? Don't be mad. My hands are kind of tied here. It's a bummer situation for everybody.
Let me ask you this. This example is going to sound bad, but try to follow me, okay? Would it be like, let's say a guy, a friend of yours lost his sight. He went blind from an industrial accident, okay? You and your buddies are going to, hey, follow me, Lindgren. Follow me.
But it was legitimate. Like, he wasn't just roaming around like an old radioactive site.
No, legitimate. It's what happened to him, okay?
Okay?
You and your buddies are going to the movies, and you don't invite him. Because it simply doesn't make sense to have him there. He didn't cause the problem, but the circumstances are that he's blind, and you just can't invite him.
It's offensive to ask him if he wants to go.
Yes.
But he might be offended if you don't ask him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to the movies. We're going bowling.
And he's still going to beat you.
Did I do it?
Okay.
Just make sure when you're walking away from him, don't say, "I'll see you later." That's just really rude.
I'm ready to lay down my verdict. You ready? Here's what I think. He's not going. It's not his day. And he has to know that. I mean, like,
that's not how you were arguing, you pompastic jerk. You were arguing on his behalf.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out whether Boovin thought through his points correctly.
But I agree with Mike though. Like, for that day, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just give us that day, get through that, and then we'll be
good.
Come
on, we've been through a lot together, man. Just give me. You know why I'm asking. Right. You know where my heart's at. Give me this day.
At the same time, though, how many dudes are really going to fight to go to a wedding?
But I really wanted to go.
Oh, you're saying I'm off? Well, okay.
Did you say it's going to be sweltering hot and there's like 800 people in there?
I don't know.
It's going to take forever?
You're treating him
outside
like...
Outside in July?
Just give me $5 for a meal.
You've made that man a leper, Mike.
Huh?
He's a pariah. You've made that man a leper.
I didn't do
Stay
anything.
Stay in your colony, sir.
I didn't do anything.
Unclean.
I didn't do anything to him.
You said he can't come to the wedding.
He did not create this stigma, but the stigma exists regardless.
He didn't contract leprosy because of bad behavior. He just got it.
Hey, listen, on the when people say that man is unclean, you don't just run up and hug him and say, "No, he ain't." You put him through some kind of vetting process and figure out where there is before you hug him.
"Let me touch your cloak, friend." That's what he says.
No, that's not what he's saying. I don't have no magic cloak.
You know.
All right.
I feel like if the charges are dropped because she didn't show, there's more battle to be fought.
Yeah.
Legally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right. But in the end, there's more battle to be fought.
Right.
But
even if you go,
if the case was truly over, though.
Yeah.
If the case is truly over, then you're looking. I think I'd have to look at the legal aspect. He's found innocent. I mean, it depends on how close a friend they are, I guess. All right, I don't hang out with my coworkers.
But even if
just
you,
for this
yeah.
reason,
even if you go with Mike, exactly, reasons. You never know. But even if you go with Mike, though, it's and say what he was saying about, hey, just give us the wedding, or whatever. You're gonna be completely wrong if you don't know that he's gonna completely be offended by that. You know, like you have to go into it knowing he's gonna be completely offended and how to defend that.
Yeah, and like you're trying to get some grace for him. He's
right.
Got it. I mean, if you're good buddies, he's gonna have some grace for you.
Right.
And realize why you're asking. It's not right. because you're a jerk. You're just. It's a wedding. Come on, man. Seriously, it was for my wife, the start of my family.
Right.
Give me a little grace here.
Or know? Just put the blame on your wife.
Yeah, that's what yeah. I was just about to say. Just when in doubt.
I wanted you
when
to go.
I wanted you to be there, man. But she
Sarah's like, man. No way. What if my uncle finds out? Here we go. Secular says, I can't think of a polite way to tell someone you're afraid your family members wouldn't be safe around him. And I don't think it will be necessary because Daryl's going to get the picture without anything being said. Oh, it's that's cowardly.
Okay, now here's the deal.
He's not going to say, oh, they're not going to want me there. Yeah.
I owe Daryl more than that, even if he is guilty.
Yeah.
I owe if he's my friend of any kind, I owe him more than that.
Now, listen here. This is going to not come out right. But, like, I mean, let's say you are purported to have done what he has done. The likelihood of attempting to do it in the middle of a wedding seems a little erroneous. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, people that are they're not really in danger. Like they're not in danger. That's a lie, right? They're creeped out.
Agreed.
Right. They're uncomfortable. But the likelihood of them being actually in danger of him perpetrating an assault in the middle of the wedding seems pretty low.
Agreed.
Okay.
Secular says it's regrettable that your coworker didn't have his day in court because at the office it appears he has already been found guilty.
Oh no.
It goes without saying that you have to find a luncheon partner and mentor besides Daryl. So be prepared. Now they're parting ways completely. That's what she recommended.
Hmm. Oh, well, that seems rough.
That's harsh.
Yeah.
I'd still go to lunch with him.
I think so.
Here's the deal, whether he did it or not. I mean, I don't know. The man still needs company.
Well, here's the thing. That's us.
Quite possibly needs Jesus.
Goes back to loving people.
It goes back to the arrogance, and it goes back to loving people. That's what it does. Like, that's a hard one to swallow.
You were like his best friend. He's already not going to have anybody. Now you need to be the person in his corner, just not for the wedding.
That's just not for the win. Stay away from me. That's right. Here we go. Last one. Here we go. Dear Life in the Path, I'm 16 and I need help. I've been in a relationship with my girlfriend, Bailey, for 6 months and things are complicated. She's very insecure and it's hard to keep her happy for any extended period of time. Yeah, she's 16, dude. Seriously, where did this guy grow up? I have thought about breaking up with her because I want her to be happy. And the same goes for me. But then I think I'd rather be miserable at times and happy at others and be with her. Then end it and possibly feel worse. For heaven's sakes, I can't even deal with this guy. Please give me some advice. I love Bailey, and I don't know what to do. I tell you what you do. You need to mature a bit before you start dating ladies, because you are not capable of having a relationship with a woman right now.
Lindgren, I feel like there are thoughts in your mind.
No. No.
Nobody watches the show, Lindgren. It's all right. It's cathartic.
No.
But I think I'd rather be happy. I'd
so what was
be
the question?
At times and happy at others and be with her than end it and possibly feel worse.
He wants someone to tell him to break up with his girlfriend.
Okay. Yeah.
He's a pansy.
Break up.
Yeah. Okay.
Put your big boy pants
on. Yes. Let's take a lesson from Kevin's Facebook history. If there's any doubt, break up with her.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah. There it is.
That's right on. Cut ties immediately.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put your testicles on one at a time and then go about your business.
Because even if there was doubt, if you truly wanted to be with this person, you wouldn't need someone to tell you you truly want to be with them.
I find this funny that he's asking for advice for an insecure girlfriend by asking someone else.
I'm not sure what to do
or whether I'm right.
No, don't mind being in pain.
And you're doing her a disservice by continuing to go on like that.
If
like,
you, yes.
That's
if you
dishonest.
Knew you want, if you knew you wanted to be with her, you wouldn't need someone to tell you you wanted to be with her. So if you're having to ask, just end it. Period.
I agree. Haven't you seen Romeo and Juliet? It doesn't work like that.
That's right.
You don't see Romeo in the background like, I don't know, man. And she's kind
of
needy.
it takes a strong level of narcissism to go, you know, I feel like I should get out of here, but I'm hanging around for her. Yeah, because you're great.
Because you're that awesome.
Yeah.
Plus, she doesn't know what happens to pets when they get old, and I want to be there for her when that happens.
But there are rough points in every relationship.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, there are times you have to work through that.
But they're 16.
But they're 16. Yeah. Hey, is it in Kentucky?
They're 16.
Here's the time the show.
You can marry, but don't invite your friend. Go ahead. Go ahead, Bill.
Here's the time of the show when I get to admit some of my faults. I was recently in a relationship where I stayed for that person because I thought, you know, they're really getting better by me being here. Really doing them a favor by me sticking around. I don't think I can leave this one just yet. I think I still have things that I can
still work
can
for
impart.
To be done for the old Boova.
Yeah, exactly.
She'll thank me someday.
She'll thank me someday for this. There's still things that I have to offer her.
I believe they call that the flirt to convert.
I totally am. I'm awful. Guys, this is completely admitted. I am a child. I am a little boy when it comes to dating, and I apologize to every girl and daughter of God that I've ruined because of that, and I'm trying to stay out of it for that reason alone, but... Oh, buddy. I have done that. I have been the narcissistic boob that goes, oh, man, she's really benefiting from me being here. I should stick around.
I don't love you, but I'm making you a better woman. Where are we going to do dinner?
I'm sticking around because I love you. Not like actually love you, just kind of love you from afar kind of deal, but I'm still here.
Okay, Secular says, have a talk with Bailey and tell her that although you love her, her insecurity and mood swings make it difficult.
Pansy,
yeah.
Sorry.
I bet she'll handle that with some steamrolling grace, buddy. Just even keel.
I love you, but your mood swings have got to go.
Crazy as hell.
Thank you. And here's Bailey going, I receive what you're saying, and I apply it to me. Thank you. Thank you for that honesty. Bailey, it says, if you do, it may give her something to think about. Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know how many 16-year-olds girls that Secular knows, but I feel like not many. She says, continues, the problem with insecurity is it can eventually drive a boyfriend or girlfriend away when it becomes smothering. P.S. The truth is, the truth to saying that you can't make someone happy, happiness has to come from within.
Amen.
Are you kidding me, lingering with that?
What? Yes.
Amen, you
I
say?
Can't, I can't make you happy.
May it always be?
Huh? Who? What?
What?
I can't make you happy.
Huh?
I can
not with that attitude.
I can help.
You can try.
I can be a part of the things that cause you to be happy, but I can't make you happy.
Well, I feel like your defeatist attitude is making it pretty secure that you're not going
to
do it. Yeah?
I mean, there is truth to that where it lines up. If I refuse to be happy, personally refuse,
right.
There's nothing that we can do about it.
I can do everything on your checklist. You have to choose how you're going to respond to that.
I become unticklish when Lindgren makes me mad. It's just the nature of my existence.
That just got awkward.
Like that, I could never make happy.
That's right.
Why am I still running?
And then I pointed at him and said, it comes from within!
You're listening to Life from the Path on lifefromthepath.org. That was Dear Life from the Path. People have troubles. And they bring them here. That's a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we talk about them anyway. It's kind of like a... Not really a gossip wheel, but more of a decision instructional wheel that I think is spit out the right answer.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, well, after that low point, I'll tell you what, let's rock the night out on a high note. Tell me a little about we're Praying for the Rains.
This is a song off the brand new album, Gulf Coast Moon. It's the last song on the digital download. The physical copies have a bonus track at the end. But this one I had a couple of the lyrics for a long time, and I was trying to piece it together and figure out how it went, and one day it just kind of poured out. I was sitting at a... when I was in grad school, I worked on a ranch, on a sheep ranch, and I was sitting just out there one day, and it kind of poured out on this 12-string guitar. I wrote down the lyrics real fast on my cell phone. I've been kind of working at it and figured this was the right album to put it on. It's one of those, a lot of songs on the album, they ended up like that. It was like, oh, well, let's try this song, see if we like it. And then next thing we knew, we had 16 or 17 songs we had to pick from. So this song's called Praying from the Rains.
All right, this is Lindgren and Lewis. You're listening to Life in the Path.
It's in the key of C.
Yeah, if you're playing at home, it's in the key of C.
Oh, that's not right.
It's all a joke.
There we go.
Good enough. Okay.
You They made a damn good cup of coffee, like black silk in a mug. His hands and his soul, they were calloused from hard times and hard love. And he only could play a handful of chords, but that was all that a cowboy could need. And mostly he'd strum them with his thumbs and recite cowboy poetry. How the horizon ran out of open space, and the hoods they'd all run away. And only these old campfire songs were all that were left to play. But I never believed in salvation more than when I heard him sing about roping and riding Colorado, surviving and praying from the rain. Family took me in, was out when I was empty. They fed me till they knew I was full. Served as a living embodiment of our sacred and golden rule. He taught me the meaning of faith and love through all he'd said and done. And he'd sing of the Rocky Mountains, the empty skies and southwestern songs. How the horizon ran out of open space, and the hoods they'd all run away. And only the old campfire songs were all that were left to play. But I never believed in salvation more than when I heard him sing about roping and riding Colorado, surviving and praying from the rain. Now, it's cowboys and boats, just two different breeds. We've got different wants, we've got different needs. But nobody's watching when either perform. My guitar still scratched and his leather still warm. And the horizon's run out of open space. Feels like the hoods they've all run away. And only these old campfire songs are all that are left to play. And I never believed in salvation more than when I have seen about roping and riding Colorado, surviving and praying from the rains. No, I never believed in salvation more than when I try to sing his songs about roping and riding Colorado, surviving and praying from the rains. About roping and riding Colorado, surviving and praying from the rains. Take us out somewhere, Kevin.
Thank you. Go to LindgrenandLewis.com. That was awesome.
Thank you.
It was very, very good. Their CD comes out on Wednesday. You can pick it up at the Greenwood Lounge if you show up there on Tuesday for the show tomorrow. Or you get it Wednesday at Amazon, iTunes, CD Baby. Make sure to check them out, Lindgren and Lewis. And you can catch them during the summer, too, or go out to the website. You can see the dates. Very good. Thanks a lot, fellas.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live from the Path. We will see you next week. Thank you for listening.